God had put something in his heart. And so, Samuel, we're going to go ahead and get this. God had put something in his heart that he had not told anyone yet. And what I'm going to share with you is something that's in my heart. I could turn this into the rest of the 45 minutes. I'm going to try to do it in five. And it's going to be the same old song you've heard before. But I felt prompted by the Spirit to make my plea again to you and about our area. In Luke chapter 11, 5 through 13, Jesus is talking about prayer. And I've got that in the Amplified version, I think. But it talks about the man, remember the man had a friend come, and then he needed bread, and then his other friend who had bread, he wouldn't get up, and so he kept knocking and knocking and knocking. And Jesus makes the point, the guy's going to get up, not because he's the guy's friend, but because of the persistence of the one needing the bread. And then he goes on and says this phrase about, it moves on and says, so ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking in the next sections there, yeah. And that's the way it is really in the Greek. In the Greek, it's not just ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find. It's ask and keep on asking. It's a present participle. It's an ongoing, persistent thing. And then it goes on down and just talks about everyone who keeps on asking for the Holy Spirit in verse 13 are the ones that are going to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, the issue of persistence and perseverance in prayer is a big deal. I don't know why all that happens. We've talked about that before. Spiritual warfare, various things. But either way, God is looking for a people who would persevere in prayer. It is so deep in my heart to raise up and to pray for Gideon's army. Gideon's army of intercessors. 300 intercessors who have dedicated themselves to exercising the power of agreement through sacrificial, intentional, persevering, unified, and strategic history-changing prayer. You've heard me talk about this. My first grandson's name is Gideon, and I don't think they did it because this is a vision of my heart, but it was such a refreshing confirmation to me of this thing that is in my heart for El Dorado. I believe with all my heart that the Lord, you know, some guys have visions to, I know one guy here in town that's got a vision to get that old car place that used to be the van. It's that car dealership that's been shut down. He wants to get that, produce a ministry center, and have a lot of people and bless and touch a lot of people. That's his vision. He's burning with it. I know another guy that's got, you know, a different kind of vision in town for something else. This is mine. My vision is a roaring bonfire of daily intercession that is literally changing our city and changing the nations. I'm not saying mine's better. I'm just telling you what's in my heart. My heart is for these 300 intercessors that are dedicating themselves to the power, promised power of agreement. When you and I agree in Jesus' name, stuff happens. History literally is changed. Eternal histories for individuals, cities' histories, and even nations. And the Bible and church history is full of that kind of thing. We believe that this ministry, I believe, is supposed to be full of people of all ages. It's not just young people. It's not just old people. It's middle age. It's young all around. All working, normal people doing normal jobs, you know, but it could be retired people, homeschool moms, whatever. Normal people, not people that only do this, just the church being the church, that are giving themselves in a cooperative way to raging and praying for the kingdom of God to come in our city. And it's to be from all streams in the body of Christ. I don't know how all this is going to happen, but this is my thing, and I felt like I was supposed to set it before you again. I believe that God has called us uniquely. I think everybody's supposed to pray. I think the church is the house of prayer. She's the 24/7 house of prayer. There's unusual unity going on, if you're not seeing the emails, in Wichita and even here. We're getting ready to do our fifth or sixth citywide prayer meeting. There's 6 to 8 churches that are pretty fairly regularly coming to these monthly prayer meetings, and they're starting to start prayer meetings in their churches. Wichita is out of control. I mean, honestly, there's just crazy stuff going on over there of leaders from all kinds of streams and big churches and little churches, and it's just a phenomenal thing. And I came back from Asia kind of stirred up about prayer, as you know, and I was sitting in a hotel in China, and God spoke to my heart about prayer in Kansas, and I've been a little amazed by all that's happened over there, and it's ground swelling as we go forward. But listen, El Dorado is supposed to be, I believe, a source of inspiration and a source of a diligent praying of a people that come together and live sacrificially at some level, giving themselves and wasting time. I say that facetiously, like the woman who wasted the perfume on Jesus. I think we're supposed to waste our time and affections on prayer meetings. Now, where that fits for you, I so don't want this to be a place where there's condemnation or you're looking and we're judging each other because you're not there or not there. I'm so thankful the 20, 30, 40 people we have that are fairly regularly in prayer meetings. But I just want to say this. I believe Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, that God sets watchmen on the wall. It says he appoints them to be on the wall. And I wanted to take a moment for you to consider if God's setting you as a watchman on the wall. If he's calling you to an extraordinary history-changing ministry. When you and I daily call upon the Lord, together agree and give ourselves to prayer, I tell you, I know these things happen for sure. God is pleased. We're worshiping every morning. We got worship leaders. We sing two or three worship songs. That brings pleasure to him as the sun rises and we come together and pray. We are blessed. It's like the church meeting every day. It's like daily in the book of Acts they met. I feel like I'm having a church meeting every day as I go down to Jacob's Well. We hit it at 6:30 in the morning and we pray and we seek God. It's just a wonderful, blessed thing. So God is blessed. We're blessed. And the lost definitely are getting affected as we cry out for their salvation. And I'll say one other thing. Cities are inspired. It's inspiration to the guys in Wichita when I say I got small town Eldoradoans coming out every day, near a dozen a day. Sometimes we have, you know what I mean, we have 15, sometimes we have 6. But we're praying, and God, people are giving their lives, and they're like, what? I can't even get people to come to prayer meeting once a week on a Wednesday night. And you got people coming every, I'm like, yeah, it's the grace of God. We're praying for all y'all. We're praying for the nations, and we're coming together in agreement. Listen, it's a sign of revival when the church gives themselves to prayer. So we're going to let you know about these prayer meetings. And I want you to know, I believe that you have the opportunity to be part of something special. And how do I say, I want you to feel it's an opportunity, not an ought. This is an unbelievable opportunity to be in a unique culture where people are, can you imagine, daily, multiple prayer meetings a day. Now, I hope you're all praying without ceasing in your own life. I hope you're praying with your families. Love all that. That's huge. That's the prayer in motion. But listen, when we're doing that, the encouragement we bring to the body of Christ. I got pastors in town that are so thanking me for these labors. So for you that are coming, thank you so much for laboring and the agreement that's going on because we're shifting and changing things. In fact, Nasser, who I think I have a picture of, our Saudi Arabian brother, I'm going to get he and Daisy over here for you to meet them. But he's a first-generation believer. There he is right there. We keep saying his name in prayer meetings. We're praying almost every day. This guy has just traveled through Turkey and Syria. He's in Germany this morning. It's not this morning anymore. He was this morning preaching. We've been praying for him all week. Power came when he preached in a Mennonite German church this morning. The presence of God, he was weeping. The congregation was weeping. Syrian refugees, who there's 700,000 of them right now. 700,000 have gone to Germany. Many of them asking, who is this Jesus? He was preaching away, and it was just a blessed, powerful moment. They had him pray over a new believer, who when he prayed, this believer was overwhelmed because the power of God began to touch his body and began to bless him. We just love it when missionaries hit the road, and we get to get behind them. So y'all that were with me, and some of you had not even seen his face yet, this is the Saudi Arabian guy. This guy came to our nation to recruit Christians to Islam. That's what he did. He was here and actually getting Catholics to turn away from Catholicism and Christianity to Islam until his backslidden wife turned around, Daisy, began to rally hundreds and hundreds, even thousands, she says, of people praying for him until he ends up in an altar call at a Baptist church receiving Jesus. And now this guy, he's hooked up nationally with some ministries and is helping people learn how to win Muslims to Jesus. And so, listen, it's the prayer ministry. This guy's doing amazing things internationally and nationally, and we're going to set up some stuff in the city. It's kind of fun to work together. But listen, it's the prayer. Every time you talk to him, he's going, it's my wife and the intercessors who changed the tide for me. And that's what we're supposed to do, is to shift the tide, and we can do this thing. I know we can do it if we give ourselves to prayer. So please consider the opportunity, count the cost, and see if you might join with us in an extraordinary thing as God calls Gideon's army together. So, Gideon's army, right now, here we go. The Greenwoods, does anybody know who they are? Seth and Katie. They drive over here from Eureka, haven't been here. He's been calving, he's got a huge farm and all this kind of stuff. But they've been part of us. They talked about how they're making disciples and started a house church over there. Their house burnt to the ground 2 nights ago. They were in their house. Their 11-year-old daughter came in the middle of the night into the room, said, Daddy, I smell smoke. What? They rouse up, get the children, get out of the house, call 911. The fire trucks take the longest route. I mean, it's Eureka anyway. But anyway, the house burns to the ground. They would be dead if that little 11-year-old did not wake up and go in and tell her daddy that she smelled smoke. Some firewood stove thing had done it. They sat right up there in that area with their children. Blessed, blessed family. He called me this morning. They're overwhelmed. Eureka's rallying. People around them are rallying, giving money, prayers, taking them in. And they just feel so blessed. They said, God, this is God's will. God's doing something in our lives because that thing just, it shouldn't have happened the way it did. And we shouldn't be alive. And so they were so thankful. Let's pray for them this morning. What do you say? They're completely have lost everything. And so, but they've got Jesus, and he called me this morning. That's what God's people do. They rejoice in the midst of suffering. So let's pray for the Greenwoods right now. Join me with an amen that God would bless them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your house of prayer, and we pray for Seth and Katie Greenwood and their children. Thank you that you awakened that 11-year-old and brought salvation to them, and that they are alive and well today with a testimony in their mouth. Thank you that they're praising you in the face of losing everything, because really in you they've got everything. I thank you that they're a living testimony. All they're doing is speaking praise everywhere right now. Your people are rallying, and we're asking that people literally would be born again from this testimony, that you would supernaturally supply for them in the trauma that definitely comes with this. We pray that you would watch over them and they would have a wisdom of where to live and what to do next with their lives. Thank you. They're missional people. They pour into Haiti. They pour into all kinds of places. And we just pray you bless this family and use this situation for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.